You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. So the Mets had an off day on Thursday, and it could have been a day to just put the Mets on the back burner. It was Yom Kippur. Everyone could have just stopped focusing on Mets baseball, and for a day, they could have faded to the back. Steve Cohen did not let that happen because let's get the time right. It was about 7 in the morning. He tweets out insightful, in quotes, source in Mike Puma's article in the New York Post today. The person who can guess the source correctly will have the opportunity to sit with me in my suite at Citi Field. First one right wins. He later expanded that to the first three that were right would win, and he had a winner within minutes. But on today's show, we're going to talk about all the layers of this because this drama has three main players: Steve Cohen, Mike Puma, who wrote the article that frustrated Steve Cohen so much, and the source, the mysterious source who Steve Cohen ultimately outed as David Sampson, although David Sampson and Mike Puma have both said that is not the case. In the first segment today, I'll talk about the article that has Steve Cohen so upset. I'll talk about his reaction to it. In the second segment, we're going to talk about the source, which was apparently David Sampson. Maybe it wasn't David Sampson. I got a lot of opinions on that. I actually am a little bit of a fan of David Sampson. I'll tell you why when we get to that segment. And finally, in the last segment, I'll talk about why this story never should have happened. And Steve Cohen continues to make way too many problems for himself by getting on Twitter and waging words that he doesn't need to. But before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at justbaseball.com. So let's go through the sources quote in Mike Puma's article. And the article was titled huge. Let me get the exact title for you real quick here. I don't want to misquote anyone because the title was very clickbaity. The article was clickbaity, and Mike Puma is certainly to blame for that. So you have quote, huge Steve Cohen tweeting issue, other missteps could hurt Mets search. I'll tell you, that's great for SEO. Got a lot of big, bold words there. That's going to get clicks for the New York Post. And I can completely understand criticizing Mike Puma for writing this article. But what I will say, when it comes to Puma and this article and the source that he had, I will always have a soft spot for journalism. Journalism was my background. I got a degree in journalism. I didn't want to pursue journalism ultimately when it came to being a beat reporter and getting on the scene, which is what I initially went to school for, because I learned that there was other avenues to cover sports, and having my own podcast where I could share my opinion and really put my personality into my coverage of a team is something that felt more natural to me than trying to curate sources and trying to remain impartial when at times I can't remain impartial. And so I like the lane that I ended up in, but I understand what Mike Puma has to do. He has to get clicks for the New York Post. I get it. And I also understand that to get information at times, you need anonymous sources. So the anonymous source in the article is a former MLB executive. That is very wide ranging. That could be anyone like Brody Van Wagenen, a former GM, all the way down to someone who just merely worked in the front office for a couple of years and was an analyst. It could be really anything. So here are the quotes from that former MLB executive that riled up Cohen so much. First one, quote, in 1 year, the value of the team has gone backwards significantly. Puma then espouses about how Jacob DeGrom's injury concern has certainly changed the value of the franchise when it comes to a prospective GM or president coming in. Also talks about Lindor and how Lindor's contract now seems like a little bit more of an albatross than it was when the Mets signed him to that $341 million deal. Now, if we're just talking about the information, is he completely wrong there? In those two instances, I don't know if he is. DeGrom's injury concerns are certainly there. And for Lindor, I think that he's had a better year than people are giving him credit for. The defense has been remarkable. He's been good since mid-May. So I don't look at him as a player that's had an awful year that's not going to be good next year. I think he's going to be good for the first 5 years of this deal, and that is what a new GM or president will be concerned with. So I can say that those things wouldn't concern me, and if I was an executive, I'd still sign up to have those two guys on my team. But point is somewhat valid. Then you have this one. Quote, they had these two hires, and it looks like they're in disarray. Now, that was in regards to Jarrett Porter and Zach Scott, which is fair. It's fair. Whoever that executive was, that's a fair comment. The other one, and this is the one that probably got Cohen a little bit more out of sorts, was, quote, Cohen is out there tweeting about the organization and about stuff that he shouldn't be tweeting about like he's a fan. Why would somebody want to sign up for that? I think it's a huge issue. And just to get to the last part of the sourcing here, they also talk about Luis Rojas, whether he'd be retained. Alderson apparently really does want Rojas to come back. Cohen might be on board with that, but he was also a big fan of Carlos Beltran before Beltran was let go, and that was obviously before Cohen owned the team. So that's all the reporting that's in the article. And I understand that Cohen has his gripes with it, but none of that is that crazy. And you get to the big money quote about the tweeting too much. To respond to that by tweeting, aren't you proving his point? If that is Puma's goal, his goal is to be clickbaity, if that's what you think, by going at Mike Puma with a tweet, I know it was a fun tweet. I know this plays into his sense of humor. And at times, I've been all for Steve Cohen on Twitter. He has been a lot of fun at times. But at times, he crosses the line. And in this instance, you're creating a story where there did not need to be a story. I read this article by Mike Puma last night. I forgot about it. Completely forgot about it. I mean, obviously, when it was brought up, I knew what they were referencing, but I didn't do a show about it yesterday. I didn't talk about it on Locked On Mets. It wasn't a big deal today. My entire show is on this article. Why? Because Steve Cohen made it a story. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Like, why? Because you're so mad at what Puma said, or because you didn't like the source. So then we get to that aspect of it. The David Sampson element here, because it certainly appears if you read that initial tweet, and we'll go back to it before we get to the next segment, quote, insightful source in Puma's article in New York Post today, the person who can guess the source correctly will have the opportunity to sit with me in my suite, yada, yada, yada. But the insightful in quotes tells you that Steve Cohen has a problem with the source. And we'll talk about who that source was or who Cohen thought it was and why it may not have been that person, which was David Sampson. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there really is something for everyone, whether it's the coconut bar, the cherry bar, sea, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, German chocolate, or my personal favorite, cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you'll get two of each and you can see which ones you like best. These are protein bars that taste like candy bars. They come covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're healthy. Built Bars come low in calories, low in sugar, but they are high in protein and high in fiber. If you want to try Built Bar today, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so now let's talk about the David Sampson element to this story, the third player in this. A couple hours after his initial tweet, Steve Cohen said, well, space, comma, space. He is terrible with punctuation on Twitter. As someone who writes for a living, it is frustrating. No space after a period at the end of the sentence. The periods, the commas, they're all over the place. I get it. This guy's about numbers, but the punctuation could be better. Anyway, the tweet is, well, comma, Twitter figured it out as usual. The source, comma, who has already put out the pre-denial denial is David Sampson. I will have my press people reach out to the three winners. Then he follows it up by saying, by the way, who is this guy? Look, I'm sorry. If you are that offended by this source, and I don't know how he would have figured out that it was David Sampson. Don't know. To me, David Sampson has been very vocal against Steve Cohen all year on his podcast, Nothing Personal, and some of his other media appearances. So the idea he doesn't know who this is, you're trying to make it seem like this guy is a nobody. I don't love that. I don't love this idea of he bothers you, but then you're trying to diminish him. Don't know about that. So then we get to the fact that Mike Puma says it wasn't Sampson. Sampson says it wasn't Sampson. And I guess I should pull up David Sampson's tweet where he denies it and gives his points on why he denies it. So he had a 5-point tweet. He said, 1, when I say something, it's on the record and my name is attached. 2, the universe of potential sources is endless. 3, I would be happy to come to a game with you so you are not alone. 4, good luck the rest of the way. 5, it's just business. It's nothing personal. And then later he retweeted what Mike Puma said, where he said, I'm not going to take guesses all day on the identity of former MLB executive. I quoted my story today. I will say it's not David Sampson. That's it. And David Sampson retweeted it, said, sorry, Steve Cohen, but I hope those 3 fans still get to watch the game with you. Let me talk about why I am a fan of David Sampson. I was not originally a fan of David Sampson. For those of you who've been listening, you know, I live in South Florida. So I have grown up around David Sampson my entire life. I have seen the Marlins franchise play out for a long time, which of course was the team that he ran for many, many years. And a lot of my friends who are big Marlins fans hate David Sampson because he was their equivalent of a Jeff Wilpon, a guy that was responsible for fire sales, who wasn't great with the media, and the list goes on and on and on. But I'm also a big fan of the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gatz. This is a local Miami show that went over to ESPN, got a huge national audience. Now it's the biggest sports podcast in the world. And David Sampson appears every Thursday for their local hour. So I've heard David Sampson talk for the past 2 or 3 years now on a regular basis. And David Sampson is, for one, great at the media game. I will say that he's very entertaining, delivers great stories, but he's also been very transparent and transparent even with his own shortcomings and even with the mistakes he's made. So This turn that he's made into the media, I have grown to respect David Sampson as someone who is trying to shed a light on a part of the industry of sports that we never talk about, the business side. He is giving you the business perspective of sports with his show, Nothing Personal. Now, I don't tune into that show all the time, but when there's a big story, I'll tune in. Guess what? Because of this, I'll tune in to Friday's Nothing Personal, and a lot of people will. So for one, Steve Cohen just did Sampson a huge favor. Because now, if you were trying to attack the guy, guess what? He just got more follows, more downloads, more subscribers, all that good stuff. But when it comes to David Sampson and this idea that he was the source, I didn't necessarily believe it from the beginning, only because, as Sampson said, I would own it. And the only way I thought it could have been Sampson as the source is if Mike Puma decided to refrain from naming Sampson because the story sounds better as the anonymous source said X, Y, and Z, as opposed to Sampson, who has a shaky reputation. You know, there's a lot of people who aren't going to believe what David Sampson says. And that's why his Nothing Personal show works, because the people who listen to Sampson can understand when he says it's nothing personal, it's just business. He's describing the business side of things. And if you hate David Sampson, you say nothing personal, this guy's full of it. But from listening to Sampson over the years, and my perspective is probably different than a lot of Mets people who only know Sampson as the former Marlins president and not the weekly guest on the Le Batard show. This is a guy who, if he wanted to call it Steve Cohen, and he has a lot this year, as I mentioned, he's just going to look dead into a camera and say, Steve Cohen is an idiot because of X, Y, Z. Or he wouldn't even call him an idiot. He'd say, Steve Cohen is wrong because of X, Y, and Z, because he never really gets into personal attacks. And he would go through it and just talk about why he is failing in the business side of it from Sampson's perspective. And for me, as a listener of David Sampson at times, he has changed the way I look at sports, because sometimes now I am a little more in tune to thinking about the business side of things as opposed to just thinking about the emotions and even just the analysis of the game. There's a lot of reasons why an organization will make a decision that are about the bottom line as opposed to winning on the field, or even the winning on the field generally will translate to the bottom line, but the bottom line is always in consideration. So that is
just my opinion on David Sampson, why I didn't necessarily believe he was the source. And honestly, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't, because again, this is only a story because Steve Cohen made it a story. And that is the issue for me. Again, look, when it comes to Steve Cohen as an owner, I have been nothing but positive up to this point. This is probably the first time I've criticized Steve Cohen, because I was the biggest hater of Jeff Wilpon. Jeff Wilpon, the bane of my existence. I've been thrilled with everything that's happened since, because anything is better than what the Mets had previously. But this is getting in your own way. It is. And the one thing that I will say when it comes to Sampson in this story, and why I could see how that leap was made, or that connection was made, is because what Sampson, or what was said in the article, here I am about to just accuse Sampson after defending him. What was said in the article is something that Sampson would say. But again, I think he would have owned it. And I also think that it is not at all out of the realm of possibility that multiple people would have that opinion. Because again, go through all the things that were said. One, the franchise isn't as valuable because Lindor and DeGrom aren't as valuable as they were coming into the season. Unequivocally, that is true. You cannot tell me that Jacob DeGrom and Francisco Lindor are as valuable today as they were on opening day. That's just a fact. Now, whether that will impact who you hire as the president, I don't know if I buy that. You could talk about the other aspects of how the farm system has been great this year and a lot of the things that make this job more attractive now than it was then. I don't know if I agree with Puma's, you know, entire, his modus of writing the article and his perspective on this situation. But I do believe there's executives out there that would say these things, and it didn't have to be Sampson. But what it all comes back to is Steve Cohen. And that's what we're going to talk about in the last segment here, because I think that Steve Cohen needs to take a look in the mirror when it comes to what he wants for the Mets and his role in creating stories like this and what that does to the franchise, because all it does is lead credence to the article he was dismissing in the first place. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for the start of the football season. And as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests are available at betonline.ag, which continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use the promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, and boxing right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend logging for the other good stuff you're missing. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contracts. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Think about some of the big stories we've had with Mets Twitter and Steve Cohen. You had the Kumar Rocker referring to him as an investment, and that went sideways. We had this latest one. You have the positive stuff for sure, but this idea that Twitter is a good thing, that Steve Cohen's on there, I don't think that's entirely the case. It's good for the fans. The fans love it. I mean, the fans are on his side the whole way. I think the opinion is still, why is the media harder on Steve Cohen than they ever were on the Wilpons? And there is certainly a ring of truth to that. The media should have been a little tougher on the Wilpons over the years. And Cohen has gotten a pretty critical look from a lot of these people. And he's a polarizing dude. He just is. I also think Steve Cohen is used to being in control of situations. This is a guy, and I think David Sampson would be the first to agree this as well, who's great at his day job, who's great at being the hedge fund guy. No doubt about it. He makes a ton of money. He knows that industry inside and out, and there's no one better at that. This is a foreign industry to him, and he is learning on the fly. When it comes to public relations, though, these missteps are damaging the outlook of the franchise. Like it or not, this is a problem. Not a huge one, not one that can't be solved with money and with coming to terms with the right executive who can see past it, who can see through the corks and can see, okay, this is a guy who really cares. And if I do my job well, he's going to be amazing. Steve Cohen being the owner of a first place Mets team is going to be a hell of a lot of fun because there's not going to be a lot to come back at. Right now, the Mets are just at such a bad state. And Steve Cohen is the biggest of Mets fans. So he is, think about your dad, right? And this is just me personally. Think about the emotional stress that Mets fans are under. Everyone has a Mets fan in their life that has taken this season really hard. And maybe it's you yourself in the mirror. Steve Cohen's that. And so a story like this is going to frustrate him, especially when you're saying the value has gone down since Cohen came in. He's saying, hell no. Hell no. A Steve Cohen run Mets is way more valuable than a Wilpon run Mets. And I agree with him. But when you come back at Mike Puma, what are you gaining? You're not gaining much of anything. It's better to sit on it, vent to your wife, your friends, whatever it is, because the story would have died. Now you know how many more clicks Puma got? You know how many downloads Samson's going to get on his podcast? And sure, Steve Cohen got some likes. Let me look at how many likes he got. I'm sure if Steve Cohen has really got into Twitter, maybe he enjoys the likes. He got over 1,000 likes on pretty much every tweet. 1,600 likes on the insightful tweet. But guess what? Let's look at this one. And maybe this is just a reflection of not as many people on Twitter today because of Yom Kippur. But great energy in the stadium last night. Thank you, fans, for sharing a special night. That got 6,100 likes. I know how much all of you care for this team. It doesn't go unnoticed. 9,600. Did I say 6.1? I don't know if I might have said 6.1 million on the last tweet. Regardless, it's all in thousands. But my point is, Steve Cohen can use Twitter as a great tool to connect with Mets fans, but it should not be used as a tool to combat his adversaries because he's going to come out on the losing side of this all the time. I have a rule of thumb for my own use of social media because it's part of my job where if someone bothers me and I feel like I have to respond to someone who says I have a bad take or I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, whatever it is, I have a two reply policy. If I can't get my point across to this person in two replies, I'm done. And a lot of times I just try to ignore it because I know that you're never going to win an argument on Twitter. Nobody does. So this idea that he keeps doing this, it's just not good for the Mets because if you were a Theo Epstein, and I talked about him on yesterday so you can listen to whether I think it's a good idea or not to hire him. But if you're Theo and you have a World Series reputation, a Hall of Fame reputation, excuse me, because of all the World Series you've won. You have a Hall of Fame reputation that's sterling. Do you really want to risk coming and taking over the Mets where you could get off to a rough start in the season and your owner could undermine you in an instant with one tweet where he's emotional because the Mets lost and he sends something out? I can't believe that our professional hitters aren't doing better. Look at the slugging percentage. We remember that tweet that people liked, but if you're running the team, you don't want to see that. You just don't. You don't want that to be public. You don't mind Steve Cohen coming into your office and yelling at you. That's part of the business. That's understandable for an owner to be upset with how things are going. At the end of the day, Steve Cohen's the boss, but you certainly don't want that to be for public consumption. And that makes this job less desirable. So at the end of the day, Mike Puma's article is sort of right. I don't like how he went about it. I don't like the story as a whole. I do think it was pretty clickbaity, but Steve Cohen went out and proved him right, unfortunately, because he didn't let it just sit. Because if you let it sit again, the story's dead. It's just that simple. The story would have been dead. But instead, I just spent 20 plus minutes talking about it because he took a little tiny match, a little spark that frustrated him, and he dumped a whole bucket of kerosene on the fire and let it burn. Can't be doing that because it's not a good look. And if you're trying to win over people in the industry, this isn't the way to do it. It's not. So hopefully Steve Cohen eventually learns from this. And maybe again, if the team is just really successful, a lot of this gets washed away, because I think a lot of these tweets have come out of frustration. But at times, there's a reason why most owners aren't on Twitter. It's just when you really equate what you gain and what you could lose, it's not worth it. And so hopefully someone conveys that to Steve Cohen, or someone grabs his phone, throws it into the Hudson, and we don't get these stories anymore, because they are a layer of drama that is just completely unnecessary. But it distracted us from a baseball team that is not playing well. So maybe that was the goal all along. The one thing I will say, because we didn't have time to do a big series preview, this is the last chance this weekend. We talked about earlier on this week, or actually last week, the managing expectations episode I did, where I talked about how if the Mets had beaten the Yankees in that series last week, you could take that as a high for the year, and you could live on that throughout the offseason. This is another opportunity to have one of those series that you'll remember. There's going to be a ton of people at these games, Mets, Phillies. You sweep the Phillies, you at least knock them out of the race, or you drag them down with you. And who knows, if the Braves end up having an awful weekend, which we've seen, they have started to fall back down to earth and they have been struggling, you could look up on Monday at a whole new world. At the end of the day, 15 games, it's still about a tenth of your season. So Luis Rojas says it's not over. It's not yet. The team has a little bit of a chance, but the only way that they do is if they reel off like a 10-game winning streak. Got to start this weekend against the Phillies, and it won't be easy, because you'll be facing Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola, amongst others. But we'll be talking about that on tomorrow, or on Monday's episode of Locked On Mets. I will also be releasing a special Friday Farm Report on YouTube only with Jordan Grossman. So you have to go there to find that if you want to learn about some of the other prospects in the Mets farm system that are having a lot of success. Other than that, though, hope you all have a great weekend. Make sure you follow, rate, and review. Follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Betting on the Mets does not have to be a guessing game anymore if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day by following the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.